Welcome, everybody, to Bucky's Fifth Podcast, Memorial Day Weekend Edition. This is Jay Kokorowski. We got Owen Reese on the line. Happy Friday. We'll get this up later tonight, and you'll hear this. You'll see it on the site tomorrow morning, too. So, really happy to have you guys with us. It's we thought it'd be a busier week, to say the least, but it has not been so far for Wisconsin Badgers news. I think you guys all know that what we're referring to. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Owen, man, kind of a, right now we're NFL draft's done, spring football's done. We're waiting for obviously Big Ten media days in July, and of course there'll be tons of recruiting news in July and June. But yeah, man, we're kind of in our off season now.
Yeah, it is a bit slow, kind of a dead time, and I'll address this ahead of time. I apologize for my voice. This is my flu game podcast, currently getting punched in the face by allergies now that it's maybe deciding it wants to be spring or summer, perhaps. So that's why I sound like crap. So I just want to get that out in front of that. But yeah, for sure. It's kind of an awkward time for content as well. Like you mentioned earlier, we're kind of hearing things and you're waiting and hoping things happen just so we have something to talk about. But hopefully we can recap everything that's happened Badger related over the past few weeks and keep you guys informed.
Right, and let's talk about that real quick. First off, big shout out to the Wisconsin softball team that gave number one overall seed Oklahoma a run for its money, obviously defeating the Sooners in the first game of their series on Sunday. And then on top of that, then obviously they fell in the second game later that night. But quite the run for Badger softball. You heard Kayla Conwent as well, Big Ten Player of the Year. You had also Taylor Johnson being a first team All conference selection. The future is really bright with Wisconsin softball, I think. And Conwin's coming back. Taylor Johnson's coming back. Caitlin Menz, I believe, is also who's a pitcher who pitched the majority of those games, if not all the games, down in the Norman Regional. Really impressive to see them step up. And I mean, they broke, what was it, 41 game winning streak? So that's pretty.
Impressive. Oklahoma had won 41 straight games, and I believe they were 51-3 after Wisconsin defeated them. So I mean, they were 10-2 or 10-1. They lost a game and then they didn't lose again until they were 51-2. So certainly an accomplishment and something for the Badger softball team to hold their heads high and something to build on for the future.
And thank you guys for reading our articles too. We're going to try to incorporate that more with obviously new site manager Drew Hom. And obviously it's great to see. I think the biggest thing I'm excited about too with our site, Owen, is the fact that people really enjoy the non-revenue sports. Women's hockey obviously is the big one, and that'll continue just with the streak it's had underneath Mark Johnson, and obviously being national title winners this past season. But I really like just even soccer. We've had soccer in the past. We've had volleyball is huge, and I mean you have women's hockey and then volleyball right after that in terms of popularity and domination really and success with those two programs. And I think softball is getting up there. If you guys go to Bucky's Fifth Quarter too, make sure you guys check out, we have a couple of questions like we've had with our roundtable discussions the past week. We ask and give us your thoughts too on that. What do you guys, in terms of, which programs you think are in the best position to succeed next season? And then also, where do you see Wisconsin Athletics in 5 years? I don't think there's going to be a baseball program, so I'm going to probably squash that right now, as long as Barry Alvarez, athletic director, is still athletic director. So, but yeah, it's really good to see just how this group is, to see how the program, is really thriving. And it was a 3 straight NCAA tournament berths for the Badger softball squad. And maybe going real quick, Owen, to before we talk football and some Badgers training down in Florida, with volleyball, junior Dana Retke is off to Bulgaria. She's going to be part of the U.S. Women's National Team that'll compete for the FIVB Volleyball Nations League. She's one of 14 players, and Lauren Carlini is also in that too. Obviously the former dominant Badger too. So, I mean, you have some Badgers competing overseas now, and, you know, Retke's 6'8", and she was named to the, I'm just reading this from the Wisconsin press release that was a couple days ago, you know, she's named to the U.S. national team 25 player roster back on the 13th. So she's a two-time first team All-American. Another big honor for a Badger. And if we're talking non-revenue sports, I mean, volleyball is really been impressive.
Absolutely. For sure. I think basketball and football generally take the spotlight for the most part, but certainly the Wisconsin fan base, a loyal one and one that enjoys to see success no matter what avenue goes down. And certainly when you get some of these standout players, like you mentioned, like Lauren Carlini, like Dana Retke, you know, like we've seen in softball here recently as well, it's, everyone loves to see the Badgers succeed. It's not always the conventional football, basketball, but for sure, especially on our site, we seem to have a very nice, healthy community of readers that enjoy those non-revenue sports. So hopefully we'll be able to keep that up. Bob does a great job with those.
Exactly. So, and Bob Wheaton, big shout out to Bob Wheatonhoft. And then also, I mean, a guy like John Beidlecheese, who's been really, especially the past 2 years, really striving to bring more volleyball coverage. He's covered matches, but he lives in Illinois. So, you know, he's been able to cover whenever Wisconsin goes down to cover, not to cover, but to play Illinois. So he knows with this, how to cover the team and whatnot. And we hope to, again, deliver some great coverage there and go from, especially this next season coming up and what's going forward. We'll see what's ahead in that aspect. So also with that, we're talking, really, we're still waiting to hear back. Before we even talk Badger football, let's talk about, because we'll talk two football topics real, and then we'll head into some Memorial Day, some fun stuff, some just odds and ends, and we'll talk some of our favorite food because it is Memorial Day weekend, and you better have your grill out, especially with some nice weather here in Wisconsin, I think, finally. Maybe not today, but are you doing anything big for Memorial Day, by the way?
Going to check out, going to go to Jefferson Speedway on Saturday. The ARCA Midwest Tour will be there. I'm going to come back home on Sunday and watch the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. And then on Monday, go help a friend of mine who races locally, short track stuff as well. So Memorial Day weekend is always a big racing weekend for me. For those unfamiliar, I do that quite a bit. I tweet about it quite a bit during the summer as well. So yeah, just a lot of that and eating some good food and hopefully enjoying some sunshine and nice weather.
You're our rookie, Bobby. I want to go fast.
That's right. Go fast and turn left.
With that, talking real quick basketball, there is no new news. I don't even know if there's a timeline as to when we should know. You've seen reports from Jeff Patricus saying Wisconsin was the likely destination. And it could be sometime in the, likely in the next week. That was last week. We have not heard anything yet. We've heard other reports. If you guys are on paywalled for BadgerBlitz.com, if you've seen Badger 24/7 with John McNamara and Evan Flood, respectively, you've seen some stuff. Right now, I'd say the fans just don't worry about it. I was joking with our former writer Kurt Hogue, and if people are biblical at all, like Ecclesiastes, I made a joke just kind of one of the meanings is like everything is meaningless. And so I was going to refer to that with Wisconsin recruiting, just, you know, everything's meaningless. Just go about and just take care, enjoy your barbecue and not be on your message boards all weekend trying to figure out when this team, you know, if this program receives good news, which I mean, again, you're hearing reports that there are good, that, you know, there should be good news, but, really interesting, and we'll see if Wisconsin gets the Hauser brothers. But for now, I'm just going to say enjoy the weekend. I know I'm going to. I'm not going to worry about it. And I got a lot of grilling to do, and I got a lot of DIY stuff around the house to take care of as well.
No doubt. Did not anticipate the debut of the Nihilist B5Q account, but here we are. Everything is meaningless. the construct, and we're here. But yeah, for sure, some exciting trivial, I guess, maybe, but some exciting stuff for some Badgers down in South Florida. Saw on Melvin Gordon, among others, has posted videos on Instagram and stuff. A couple current Badgers and a couple former Badgers down there, Jake.
Right. Yeah, you saw Garrett Groshek, and Jonathan Taylor. You saw Melvin Gordon retweeted one of my retweets, which was weird. not as a humble brag or anything like that. It was just kind of weird. Like, oh, he retweeted it. I just said former and current Badgers in this video. There was Melvin Gordon. You saw Jonathan Taylor, Garrett Groshek, some former names that you haven't heard from in a couple of years. Sojourn Shelton, who's had a couple of tea with practice squads in the NFL. Austin Traylor, who we spoke with as well. I mean, he's had a couple of videos too. So I don't know if I saw Traylor in the last video that he had, but I know he was in one maybe a week ago that Zach Heilprin called out. So really this, you know, like, so you're seeing some Badgers getting together and putting in work. And I think that's really interesting to see, in my opinion, just how one, I mean, there's always going to be that Wisconsin connection between alums and current players and trying to give back. I think that's the way the program's set up with the culture. And we won't be able to talk. I reached out to Wisconsin actually to see if they, you know, Groshek and Taylor would be available to talk, and they won't be available until fall camp, which will be in August sometime. So, but I'm going to ask them about it and just how it went. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they, you know, how they benefit from that. And I mean, coming up in a couple few weeks, I mean, you're going to have summer conditioning startup, I think in maybe mid June. So that'll be something to watch too, when it comes to how the team roles there. And just, you know, how those improvements with those players stand out. I think Groshek has a lot to gain when it comes to, you know, I think he played very well during the spring. And he showed, you know, some versatility out of the backfield and catching the ball, but also just taking, I thought he looked more like a leader in my opinion. And there are a couple of reps here and there that, you know, there are players that couldn't sub in. So he'd be working with like a third team or the reserves, but he'd be taking the ball and handing off and running. And I thought even with Jonathan Taylor not getting a lot of reps, he showed up there. So, I mean, not to spoil too much, but I think he's going to be, I still think he's going to be a down and distant type back, but in terms of like second and long, third and long type backs or personnel like that. But I really feel too that, I mean, he's got ability to do more. So, and I think going down to South Florida and training with the likes of Melvin Gordon and other Badgers that have had tastes of the NFL can only help him.
No doubt. It should certainly help on the recruiting trail as well. You know, for kids that follow these guys, you know, that's not something that's out of the realm to go train with current NFL stars, you know, that played at Wisconsin. You know, we hear every year during the draft cycle, we always hear, you know, this year with TJ Edwards and Ryan Conley, talk about, yeah, they reach out to Jack Sitchie, they reach out to Joe Schobert, you know, Vince Beagle, those guys that have been in the NBA or in the NFL and recently experienced these things that they're experiencing with the All-Star games and the pre-draft process. So certainly a benefit to those kids and an invaluable resource. You know, you can hear stuff from coaches and friends and stuff and agents and whatever all you want, but until you hear it from a peer and someone who's experienced it, that's a pretty valuable thing and a nice asset for the Badger program to have in recruiting as well as for their current players.
Exactly. And I'm kind of talking about, you know, Wisconsin recruiting. Good segue here. You know, I wanted to add this comment a little late because I wanted to get your thoughts. You've made some of your points up on social media too. So I think that's interesting. PJ Fleck, and it became kind of a big story yesterday, for sure, when it came to he made a stop. It was for, and this is out of the Star Tribune, and you can thank Megan Ryan, who posted this, basically talking about there's a coach's caravan with looks like a bunch of Minnesota coaches. We're talking in a place called Delwood. And, you know, I'm going to read this verbatim from what Megan wrote. It says, "I have a rule. You commit to me, you can't go see another place," Fleck said. "Not because I'm insecure, but if you want to be committed, you're going to be committed. Too many people teach young people to be committed, but also one foot in and one foot out. You've got to be all in." Or as Fleck termed it, "We have a problem in our society. We don't have a problem in our program." That is interesting. And I think a lot of people, I mean, I think a lot of people have turned on that too. I don't even know if I need to lay out all the arguments, but you've seen the reports about, I mean, he signs an extension. I mean, the one tweet had an extension about him signing a 6-year extension with Western Michigan. And then he flies out to Minnesota and takes a bunch of recruits with him. There, you know, you see it all the time with coaches. Well, coaches decommit too. And, you know, and so I guess I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I mean, you've been in the college recruiting aspect. You were a former Division III player at Carroll University. What are your thoughts on him? And just is it one of those things where obviously he's in a kind of a public or kind of a more, almost a private setting with this coach's caravan, where maybe it's more you rah rah type atmosphere? I mean, I think that's one thing to take into account. And so,
yeah, and, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess there's a couple different things here. I think that, like anything, the majority of the people probably didn't read the article and they got the quote and they retweeted it or whatever. And that's fine. I think, you know, there's a phrase, you know, there's multiple ways to skin a cat. And I think that that's the kind of what you're seeing here. PJ Fleck has been a very successful recruiter throughout both his time at Western Michigan and at Minnesota. He does things quite a bit differently than how Wisconsin does. And obviously he's reportedly right. And he's very upbeat. He's very energetic, but he can also, I think, probably come off as a bit abrasive. And he coaches at Minnesota. So for a Wisconsin fan base, it's very easy. There's quite a bit of ammunition there, for any reasons that if you already don't like Fleck, or you don't have a good taste in your mouth about him, or you don't want to like him, whatever the case may be. And to an extent, I understand his sentiment. You know, I think there's, you know, a few different people tweeted at me, well, he decommitted too. Well, yes and no. You know, they say, yeah, well, he got a better offer and left. And while that's right, I think that's a bit apples to oranges. You know, you get there, you have one recruiting process, and that's, you know, I played Division III. That's certainly no real comparison to what these kids go through nowadays. But I mean, if, like I said, I kind of get it. I mean, if you're committed, then either, and you're still looking elsewhere, then either, well, you probably committed too early, or, you know, and it's, I think it's a natural thing. I don't think these kids should be villainized for continuing to look, but I can certainly understand why a college football coach who spends a lot of time in recruiting, you know, and I don't think they're personally against the kids either, but if they get a commitment from a kid, they're moving on to the next one, because in their mind, well, yeah, he's committed. He's coming here. He's bought into the University of Minnesota and he's coming to play football here. And, you know, we've sold him on both the school and our coaching staff and the university and our football team, and everything is cool. I think it's probably pretty tough as a coach to, you know, if a kid starts to blow up, they're not stupid. You know, they see that. But I think it's just one of those things where it's probably what a coach is supposed to say, because I think very openly, if a coach is like, yeah, well, I mean, if a kid gets a better offer, right, that's cool. Like, I don't blame him at all. That's a tough sell to the kids in the program, because, or the kids moving forward, because then that shows some type of lack of conviction in the kid to PJ Fleck. And I know Fleck is very much a relationship guy, or at least it's what he, in his press conferences, he's very open. It's a family at Minnesota, you know, everything is together, and in a family, when things go wrong or when there's division, it tends to be a bit personal at times. And it doesn't surprise me at all. Or it doesn't, for PJ Fleck to have that view, doesn't, I was not surprised in the slightest. And I completely get it. But at the same point, and this is all reportedly, none of us have been recruited by PJ Fleck, but it's very easy to see from the outside. And I kind of use this analogy. He's the high pressure used car salesman. He's the guy that it's been reported. He's pressures kids for early commitments.
Is it reported, or has it just been, you know, rumors?
Or
is it rumblings? Yeah,
sure. Certainly not. Yes. There you go. There's been talk, scuttlebutt, if you will, that PJ Fleck pushes kids to commit early, or at least has, you know, is a persistent and forward recruiter, I think. And Wisconsin, at least to the public, is a bit different. You know, I kind of use that. You know, Paul Christ is like, I use the analogy from those familiar with Drake and Josh. You know, and when his mom's like, yeah, well, compliment, if you want the girl to like you or to talk to you, you just compliment her and then walk away, you know, make them follow you. And that's what Christ's thing. And in a lot of interviews, if you read and interviews behind, or articles behind paywalls. You know, it's a lot of, yeah, well, Wisconsin, they really like me, but they want to make sure that I go everywhere I want to go to make sure that I'm making the right decision and I'm having in the right fit. And I think for a Badger fan base, largely public view of the college football landscape at this time, that's a easier thing to get behind than Fleck, you know, being a bit more persistent or a bit more adamant, rumored or supposedly, you know, that the kids there, once you're committed, you're committed. Like, you don't need to look anywhere else because you committed to here. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's also important to note too that like PJ Fleck has been places that are like fairly decommittable. And I mean that as no slight to Minnesota or Western Michigan, but for example, TJ Edwards was committed to Western Michigan, mm-hmm. was committed to PJ Fleck at Western Michigan, and eventually got an offer from Wisconsin and took that offer and ended up at Wisconsin. So he decommitted from Western Michigan. You know, I get that. It would be a hard sell for me to look at a kid and say your opportunity at Western Michigan is more valuable than your opportunity at Wisconsin. And kind of the same thing at Minnesota. I mean, certainly Minnesota is a bigger program, you know, but within the Big Ten Conference, you know, much less the Division I landscape as a whole, I don't think it's a huge stretch to say that Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Iowa even, or maybe Michigan State are all quote-unquote more desirable or higher-profile programs in Minnesota. So Fleck is going to do his best to get the kids that maybe had currently or previously decommitted from Minnesota to stay there or to go there. You know, so it's, like I said, I think like most things in life and most things on Twitter, they require a lot more context than what's available in 240 characters. You know, but I guess to sum up and get off my soapbox, I very much understand his point, and I don't know if he's 100% wrong, but at the same point, I don't, you know, I don't think it's on the kids either. Like, imagine a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old changing his mind or changing a big decision. You know, luckily, you know, I was never 15 to 18 years old, but certainly, you know, there's a lot of flip-flopping. You know, it's a developmental part in your life, and you're making life-changing decisions at 16 to 17 years old, based off of where you want to play football, really, you know, and that's it's a big weight and it's a lot of pressure on these kids. And Graham Mertz talked about that, you know, the volume of texts and calls he would get daily from, you know, these college coaches and, you know, social media being ever present and all that. So to surmise it, I get his point. I don't know if he's necessarily right, but I don't think he's necessarily wrong either. And it's certainly a lot of public ammunition for anybody that doesn't want to like PJ Fleck or wants to bash Minnesota or PJ Fleck or college coaches in general.
Right. And I think that's probably all there. I mean, there's just a lot of nuance there. And it also, I mean, with Wisconsin and just how they operate, I mean, you know, in terms of allowing kids to go, I mean, in terms of locking down, like, we don't know exactly in terms of just how much they operate as well. It's something that I need to get better at in terms of learning their recruiting processes, you know, really. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, visiting schools, it's, you know, like, you don't really see a lot of, you don't see a lot, in my opinion, like, just outside looking in. I mean, you saw Graham Mertz, maybe if he's going to, you know, and he talked about it too, you know, you saw the reports, he went to Georgia, check out the campus in Athens, but then, you know, but it's an unofficial visit. He's not going officially, but he lets the coaching staff know ahead of time. You know, every time there was an offer.
Well, and he was also there for there for camps too. Ohio State, right. The same thing. They were there for camps. He didn't go to Athens to visit the school unofficially.
He went there because he was at a rival's 3-star camp, or he went to the opening or the Elite 11 competition, stuff like that. Jake Ferguson, for that matter, took an official to Nebraska. Why? Because his dad played at Nebraska, and so did his grandfather. You know, and so, I mean, each situation I think is a little different. I don't know exactly what Wisconsin does if they lock that down too, saying if you're committed, you're committed. But I also haven't seen really a lot of other players go places. You know, you haven't seen
the only one really that sticks out, I think, is probably Ben Bryant.
Right. Yeah. Where he did. Yeah. Decommitted. Yeah. And that was the class of 2017 quarterback who obviously both Ben Bryant and Chase Wolf were on the roster. Wolf came on and boy, am I right with that? Or did he? I'm not sure. Okay. I'll have to check back on that. My notes there. Maybe my memory's off, but with the, you know, Ben Bryant, obviously there was a decommitment and he had to tell his side of the story. And in Wisconsin, and in their defense too, they can't, essentially it's a violation if they talk. When it comes to after National Signing Day, when it really becomes no longer a question or a pressing matter, you know, and you know, you only have a limited amount of time with Paul Christ or other coaches. So you may not use your time to circle back on Ben Bryant being like, what actually happened, you know? So regardless though, it's a recruiting. It's interesting. And I mean, on top of that too, I think an interesting factor is to look into how many players Minnesota's actually offered. On that note, you know what I'm saying, where I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it is something where you're looking, and it really is. I mean, that's another thing too, where I know you also, like, and I've heard sometimes too, where recruits, you have to really sometimes you have to just offer just to get them on campus. I've heard like rumblings about that. Right now I'm seeing, according to one recruiting website, 244 offers for the class of 2019 or no class of 2020. I'm sorry. And then let's take a look at the class of 2019. They had 305 offers. That's according to 24/7 Sports. And then let me just see if I can check the offer slate for Wisconsin. On that note,
I think it's pretty significantly less. I think for the 2020 class, I know Nebraska had already offered like over 300 kids, and Wisconsin was at like 100. It was like 130 less, I believe, guys. But I think it's an interesting thing too, because everyone's all for these kids making the right decision and everything else. But at the same point, it's tough for the schools to kind of be held captive by a student athlete, you know? I mean, it's a certain point where at what point do we know you're coming before signing day? And I think that's the popular thing. It's like, yeah, well, kids should be able to come and go as they please. It's kind of tough to plan to run a football program that way. So I think it's another thing where I think it probably requires a bit more context than what most people give it. But certainly a polarizing and intriguing absolutely. Dynamic nonetheless.
So, I think it was the one Rivals, Blair Sanderson from Rivals covers the beat for Iowa, but he does a lot of recruiting with the Midwest. He had, I think he said 150, if I'm not mistaken. Wisconsin was up around there, around the 150 mark, and he announced that was like a couple of weeks ago. So he had that. So compared to, 250, as I was according to 24/7 Sports there, and 305 for the 2019 class for Minnesota there, that stands out, right? And obviously Wisconsin, I mean, one thing to take into consideration too, like I said, there's layers to all this, guys, and gals. And this is what the big thing is. And to me too, is, I mean, Wisconsin's recruiting class, and you mentioned this on Twitter too, Owen, right? It's going to be smaller than last year's likely. And that's due to look at the scholarship distribution right now for football. And if you go to badgerblitz.com, they got it all laid out there. I mean, right now, if you really take a look who's on scholarship, technically there's really 10, from what it looks like, there are 10 players, 10 seniors that'll be, that are leaving. So there's 6 verbal commitments right now for this class. So technically, if no one else left, but here's the thing too, let's say there are a few of these guys, one guy like Anthony Lottie, not him, maybe he's not the best example, but AJ Taylor. Let's say AJ Taylor like tears an ACL and then he wants to come back for his 5th year. Well, there, that goes down to 9 because he hasn't redshirted yet. But there's also guys like Jonathan Taylor. There are guys like Tyler Biadasz, maybe even Nicole Van Lannen that may declare for the NFL draft after this year. We don't know, obviously. We're foreshadowing, and it's hard, obviously, right now. So, in my opinion, you know, it's going to be, you know, like there's that part too, where if you have a larger class, maybe you are able to offer a few more guys and you don't know what type of recruiting targets they're going into or what states they have to get into. And everything's, you know, but it is interesting to see just how many scholarship offers are presented. Was it Nebraska, I think, in that one from Blair Sanderson that maybe had the most, or is it Texas? One of those two had really just it was a crazy amount of offers. And that was just, to me, that stood out a lot in terms of, you know, presenting players, you know, that opportunity, which is great, but it's also, you're also, how many spots do you have? And you know, I'm astounded that coaching staff's in the middle of trying to prepare guys for spring ball or do other things, have time to contact these players. And I'm sure they have support staff that'll help them too. But anyways, I'm off my soapbox on that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's certainly just quite a bit of context involved in you know, for the 1-2% of society that actually know what it's like to be a Division I recruit or even Division II recruit, you know, obviously they have certainly a different perspective than most of us too, but certainly something that is going to continue on, and I'm sure there's no answer, like most things, there's no answer that'll make everybody happy. So, you know, just kind of
absolutely
roll with the punches here as we move along.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So, with that, let's take a look at real quick. We got a couple minutes left before you have to get going and I have to start making dinner. In your opinion, what are, in your thoughts, just some of your favorite Memorial Day weekend food? I mean, you're going to be hopefully grilling out in between your racing stuff, enjoying some time there. What do you enjoy? Like in terms of, let's break it up. Main dishes, side dishes. Main dishes. What are the key? What's your ideal cookout?
I think brats have to be up there for sure. I mean, obviously we live in Wisconsin. That's a big deal. Brats, cheeseburgers, corn on the cob, potato salad. I think those are probably the staples. And then obviously a couple cold ones. So I'm generally pretty. I know Jake has seen, obviously, for those that don't or aren't familiar, I'm a pretty big guy. I'm not very picky. I don't miss many meals. So I'll pretty much eat whatever's available, but probably pretty simple tastes for me. Like I said, brats and brats, burgers, corn on the cob, and potato salad, and a couple beers, nice. And I'll be like a happy nice. Guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely. I mean, yeah, brats. I like burgers too. I enjoy burgers. I think those are good. But I think I'm more brat guy just because burgers. They're smaller. If you. I mean, it's easier just to have brats or hot dogs just because it's easier to hand out. They're cheaper. Burgers are good. It just, to me, like you get the ones that are frozen and I just don't like those where, I mean, I like eating them and they're easy to make because you just flip it on the burger and you're fine there. But it's also a pain in the butt too, where I want to make my homemade ones because they're a little bit juicier. They got a little bit better flavor. You can do a little bit more with them and you go from there. So, but also sides. What do you got for sides?
You know, it's like I mentioned, potato salad for sure. That's an easy one. Pasta salad's good. Macaroni and cheese for sure. Certainly up here is a bit different. When I've gone down to Mobile the past few years, they've got different sides down there. Collard greens, A lot of baked beans, stuff like that. That stuff's very good. Very much enjoy that. The mac and cheese down in the South is not the same as it is up here. Like I said, I'm pretty picky, I'm not picky, pretty open to almost everything, but regular potato salad and German potato salad are certainly two of my top ones.
I like the chips, I like pickles and black olives. It's a weird thing with me from the South side of Milwaukee. I have a friend that did the same thing where every time we have some people over, it's always pickles, like these little Milwaukee mini dill pickles and black olives. I'm just weird. By the way, real quick for the, I found the tweet. Blair Sanderson had tweeted it out on May 2nd. Now this hasn't been updated yet. Nebraska had 409 offers for the class of 2020. And so that's big. And then Minnesota actually has, according to, this is back, like I said, this is back on May 2nd. So things may have changed. Minnesota had 187 from that. And then Wisconsin had 130. So that is 57 more offers in Wisconsin right now. And again, their numbers may be bigger too. Anyways, on that note, let's break it down, because you got to get going. Where can people find us? Let's talk real quick. B5Q at the Twitter handle, at me at JCoco, you at ReeseDraft. And then what do we got? Instagram, Bucky's Fifth Quarter, Facebook, Bucky's Fifth Quarter. I already mentioned our Twitter account. Owen, where can they find the podcast?
You can find us anywhere podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Store, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and anywhere else you can find, any other platform you can find podcasts. We've had a lot of fun doing this, and I hope you guys have enjoyed listening. Make sure you drop us a 5-star review, and let us know what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. If someone writes something funny, we'll read it on the show. If you want to make fun of PJ Fleck, that'd be a good way to do it. Thank you guys for listening as always. And like I said, make sure to drop us a review and let us know what you like and don't like, so we can make the show as pleasant for you guys as possible.
Absolutely. We appreciate you guys. Guys, please enjoy your weekend, especially in Wisconsin, if there's nice weather like it's supposed to be from what it looks like after the rains tonight here on Friday. But be safe, be responsible, please, on the roads, and also with consumption of particular beverages, please. And then also any other type of substances as well. We'll catch you guys next week. We'll have one more show coming up before the end of May. Some news on our end. We'll let you know about that, along with hopefully other news and notes from there too. You guys have a great weekend, extended weekend. We'll catch you guys next week here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast. ¶¶